I'm Stephen Krafczyk, the attorney for the plaintiffs. There's no dispute that we made...
Rebuttal time.
2 minutes. There's no... or whatever time is remaining when I'm done, but I'm not going to be long. There's no dispute that we made a CR56F motion at the hearing. Oral motions are accepted. The judge gave it no time whatsoever. Originally, we had a thought that there was an overprescribing theory. I had an expert. I'd only been on the case for 2 weeks. The expert told me that there wasn't overprescribing based on the record he saw. I found out the record itself had been incomplete at that time, but nevertheless had another theory that came up shortly before the summary judgment motion, which was that there was a systems error, that the overall care was not done to protect the safety of Douglas Kafka. In particular, they didn't monitor him swallowing the drugs they were giving him. So he was able to stash his oxycodone and then take it all at once and kill himself.
So eventually you submit this declaration, but it doesn't really come in until the motion to reconsider. So
correct.
Aren't we really reviewing the motion, the denial of the motion to reconsider, as opposed to the denial of the motion to continue the summary judgment motion?
Well, all of it. If I was going to go to the Wanick declaration next, the big complaint that the Providence had was there was no causation testimony. However, in the declaration itself, Nurse Wanick says that based on the autopsy findings, it's clear that the hospital actions or lack thereof allowed Mr. Kafka to obtain and self-administer medications in what ultimately proved fatal to be a fatal dose. And she also said it was the responsibility of Providence Regional Medical Center to provide a safe environment for Mr. Kafka. Despite a clear understanding of the risks, the hospital utterly failed to take basic measures to assure Mr. Kafka's safety, which ultimately led to his death. I think that's adequate under any standard to prove that there's causation, and she says clearly that there was a breach of the standard of care.
So after this motion was argued, and I think really after the briefs were filed, the Supreme Court decided Keck versus Collins.
Right.
So how does that affect our analysis?
It doesn't, because Keck didn't. The Supreme Court case in Keck helps me because it says that they need to consider the Wanick Declaration if it's in the record.
So the Wanick Declaration comes in to the motion to reconsider. So basically,
correct.
We would have to conclude that the reasoning in Keck applies to the denial of the motion to reconsider as much as the denial of the motion to continue summary judgment?
Correct.
And all Keck says is that the court should consider the Burnett factors, not that the Wanick Declaration.
Right, the Burnett factors. There's other case law that says that that whatever is in the record has to be considered by the judge. And the Wanick Declaration was submitted on March 2nd, and the order was issued on March 3rd. So it was there for the judge to look at, and he doesn't even mention considering it. In fact, if you look at the orders that he gave in either case, you can't tell what he was thinking. And he does indicate that he reviewed it, but he didn't say anything about it.
He doesn't identify it with particularity, though, does he, in his order?
Pardon?
He doesn't identify the declaration in his order.
Well, he says he considered my reply, and this was part of it.
But he doesn't call out that.
Correct. Correct. So I don't know what he looked at or didn't look at. Either he looked at it and he ignored it, or he didn't look at it at all and didn't consider it.
So, but now in the new world, the new Keck world,
right,
what the trial court would do would be to determine whether your submission of that declaration would meet the Burnett factors. The court would need to address the Burnett factors on the record.
Well, they'd have to look at the factors that I guess that's true in part, but they'd also have to look at the factors that were set out in the law in Coggle or Butler or the appellate court Keck, which dealt with the 56F. So either I get the continuance that I want and I can get more evidence, or the Wanick Declaration is sufficient to
create a material issue of fact
and set the case to trial. So either way, I think we get to continue. My preference would be to find the Wanick Declaration is sufficient to defeat summary judgment, and then we get the case moving forward. Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Amber Pierce on behalf of Providence Health and Services. The Ms. Hocase has been part of a pattern and practice of delay. Pro se plaintiffs are held to the same standard as lawyers in terms of procedure. The trial court gave Kafka one continuance, and then Providence.
Well, let's talk about the record when the case ended. What we know about the Burnett factors are it started out as applying to Rule 37 disputes. Then it became part of the answer to Rule 26G disputes. Then, much to the surprise of some members of this court and probably at least 187 out of the 192 Superior Court judges in the state, we found out that Burnett factors apply to rulings made during trial, excluding previously non-disclosed witnesses. Then we find out in September of last year, 2015, that Keck applies to rulings made in summary judgment proceedings. So is there any question but that the view of the Supreme Court would be that that Burnett applies to Rule 59?
It may apply to Rule 59. I don't think it did in this case because I
Well, then here's the, here okay. Where do then we find the trial judge's findings of willfulness, prejudice, and no adequate lesser sanction or remedy?
Well, I don't think the court actually considered Warnock's declaration or our motion to strike. It's not in the record. It's
so
not
are
listed
you, are
in the
you,
order.
Well, let me ask it then this way. Is your answer another way of saying that you concede that we should view that declaration and resolve the case as if the declaration had been admitted in response to your summary judgment motion?
That is one approach. I don't think the Burnett factors apply because I don't think the court looked at it. But in any event, I think
The Burnett factors apply regardless of whether the court looked at it. Okay?
Okay.
I mean, that I have been beaten into submission in trying to determine the types of proceedings that could take place in a superior court to which the Burnett case does not apply.
Fair enough.
I think maybe criminal law, but I'm not even positive on that. So if Burnett applies, we didn't have the findings, that would have to mean that we would be considering the declaration.
Okay. In that case, I'd like to spend the rest of my time arguing why the Warnock declaration is fatally flawed. The declaration is fatally flawed because it does not state her opinion on a more probable than not basis. That is a gatekeeper function, just like reasonable doubt and preponderance of the evidence. Under the Supreme Court case of O'Donohue, more probable than not removes the issue of causation and negligence from the realm of speculation. Here, her two-page declaration at CP 32 and 33 states about what likely could have occurred or what ultimately may have happened or possibly could have happened, but nothing is stated on a more probable than not basis. O'Donohue says, to remove the issue from the realm of speculation, the medical testimony must at least be sufficiently definite to establish that the act complained of probably or more likely than not caused here the subsequent disability. So I think on that basis, there were other possibilities, there were other hypotheticals that Providence relayed to the trial court, which was that visitors were setting off the smoke alarm in the bathroom. I don't know what they were smoking, what they were doing. There were people that would come in and out of the hospital room. The security had to do a floor sweep of the entire hospital room because there was concern that drugs were being delivered to Mr. Kafka or Mr. Kafka delivering drugs to them. This is at CP 252. There's a lot of other possibilities that could have occurred that may have happened for Mr. Kafka to get the amount of drugs that he did to accidentally overdose himself. And the autopsy said accidental overdose. It was not an intentional overdose.
If we conclude that Burnett applies here under Keck and the progression of the law as Judge Dwyer has outlined, do we remand it back for the trial court to do that hearing now, or do we simply go straight to, as you're arguing, determining whether the affidavit is sufficient to defeat summary judgment?
Since the court didn't go through the Burnett factors, and this court's very clear that if it was considering striking it, it should have, I think you can go directly to Warnock's declaration without considering Burnett. And if you do apply that don't go to Burnett because you don't need to, and you go straight to is the declaration sufficient legally sufficient on its face, I think you can easily come to the conclusion that there are a lot of other possibilities, hypotheticals, for why this occurred, and by not stating her opinion on a more probable than not basis, that's a serious flaw, and that's a serious problem, and that is the gatekeeper function among allowing speculative evidence to come in. And unless the court has any other questions, I am happy to sit down.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Why don't you just go right to the heart of the matter? In Keck versus Collins, the Supreme Court addressed what the specificity requirements were for expert testimony in a medical malpractice claim case. That seems to be pretty close to where we are here.
Right.
So do you or do you not meet the requirements set forth in Keck versus Collins?
I believe this is better than more probably than not. She said it led to his death. She didn't say it more probably than not led to his death. It led to his death. The hospital allowed him to stash oxycodone. He died of oxycodone poisoning. How did he get it? He got it through hospital prescriptions. He took it all at once, and it killed him. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward case. And she's very clear, ultimately led to his death, ultimately proved to be a fatal dose. Not more probably than not, ultimately led to. She's saying this is what happened. Not this is probably what happened, this is what happened. And I don't know that there's any other choice in interpreting this particular declaration, which goes through the basis for her findings and is quite detailed in what she says. My fallback position, in case you don't find that, is that we should have been given a continuance to perfect the expert testimony. Thank you.
Well, with our apologies for our technologically required period of repose, thanks to everybody, and the court's in recess.